All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to the 12th chapter of, or 13th chapter, I'm sorry, of Revelation. And we have been looking at the two beasts that are identified here in this 13th chapter. This is all parenthetical, and as if to say that while the tribulation period is going on, John says, "Oh, wait a minute, I got to tell you something." So he puts a parenthesis where he left off, and then he tells us what is going on, like in chapter 12 when he saw the wonder in heaven. Chapter 12, verse 1. But now here in chapter 13, he sees two beasts. And we identified the first beast last week as being the Antichrist. He is referred to by the Apostle Paul as the Antichrist. The second beast is mapped out for us here in chapter 11, and this one is the false prophet, and he is identified three different times in the book as the false prophet. Now here in chapter 13 he is not called that, all right, but in chapter 16 and verse 13, and in chapter 19, verse 20, and in verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 10. All three places there, this beast that comes up out of the earth is identified as a false prophet. All right, now what I pointed out to you, I think it was two Wednesday nights ago, is that that the devil has a counter for everything that God has. All right, so God is Father, Son, and Spirit, and these three are one. Exactly right. And ironically, it is John, the same author that we have here with the book of the Revelation, who tells us that in chapter 5 of 1 John chapter 5. Yeah. Now listen, if you have a Bible, when you go home, read 1 John chapter 5, and if you have a Bible that says that that most manuscripts do not have 1 John chapter 5 in them, that's a lie. Okay, that's fake news, and that's a lie. And the person that says that it was deceived. And let me remind you, the Lord Jesus said, "Be not deceived." All right, but he also said, "Beware of the scribes." And so, so if your Bible says that that this chapter is not included in the ancient manuscripts, that's a lie. It is just a lie. Don't believe it. All right? It's not in two manuscripts. Two. There are over 5,400 manuscripts and or partial manuscripts. And it's in 99.9% of the manuscripts that we have. All right? It's not in two. And that's the Alexandrian Bible that was found in the Vatican, and that was in it was a manuscript, another Alexandrian manuscript that was found in the monastery at the bottom of what they call Mount Sinai. All right, it's not the Bible Mount Sinai, but they call it that. And so the manuscript that they found in there was being used by the monks to light their candles with. All right, so it's not even complete. All right, you see what I'm saying to you, folks?
Yeah.
Don't forget the devil's a what? Liar. All right, don't ever forget that. He's a liar, and that's what he does. All right, so we have God, three yet one. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. And then there is Satan. And Satan is also represented in the scriptures as a triune, a small g god. All right, he is Satan is the evil parody of the Father, and beast number one is the evil parody of the Son. We know that the Lord Jesus is the true Messiah, and so here is the beast number one, and he's the false Messiah. And then there's the second beast that we read about beginning in verse 11, and this beast is a parody, an evil parody of the Holy Spirit, and his job is like that of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if I go, then I will send you another comforter. And he said, when he is come, he will guide you in all truth. All right, so his job, the job of the Holy Spirit, is to point men to Christ. He comes to convict us of sin, and of judgment, and of righteousness. And so he points us to the Lord, who is able to save us. And so when this second beast comes along, what he will do is he will point men to the first beast. He will point men to Satan incarnate. All right? You got God the Father, God the Son. Who is the Son? He is the Father who became flesh, incarnate. Nod your head. You with me on that? And so here on the other end, you've got the devil trying to imitate, and what he's going to do during this tribulation period is his best to convince men that that beast is the Messiah. Now we know from what we learned last week that beast is anything but a Messiah. All right, he is just like his father, the devil, in that he is a liar and he is a murderer, and he has been since the beginning, and he always will be. All right, so in John chapter 16, in verse 13 through verse 14, the Lord Jesus said that the Spirit of God would come and he would guide the saints. And Jesus said that when the Spirit is come, he will not speak of himself. That is an important verse. That's an important verse right there. He will not speak of himself, but will point men to the Lord Jesus Christ. So his job would be to the Holy Spirit's job when he came 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost would be to glorify the Lord Jesus. And so when this false prophet comes, his job is going to be to glorify the beast, all right, the Antichrist. All right, now let's read it in beginning in verse 11. You follow along, beginning in verse 11. The Bible here says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." And then let's see, it says, "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a," what?
Dragon.
All right, now think about it, folks. A lamb, that's this little meek, creature. That's this little, scared to death all the time, humble. That's what a lamb is. But he is anything but meek, because he speaks as a dragon. In other words, he speaks as his father. Remember, the dragon in chapter 12 was Satan himself. And so he speaks just as the devil would speak, as the dragon would speak. Verse 12, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders." So this false prophet is going to do great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark. Folks, I'm telling you, the devil is preparing the world for this verse right now. All right, we're seeing all this. If you don't have proof of a vaccine, you can't go into this into the restaurant. If you don't have proof of vaccine, you can't get on some airlines. I mean, it's just preparation. Everything that is happening today is just preparation for what the devil is going to do down the road. And so he said, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, unless you have the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And then verse 18 says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666." So 666. All right? Three sixes. And six is the number of man in the Bible. All right? Now, the first thing I want you to do tonight, or notice tonight, is this false prophet's deceptive appearance. You see, the first beast will have 10 horns, but the Antichrist, but then the second beast will only have 2. Okay? So territory is symbolized by the 10 horns, but testimony is symbolized by the 2 horns of the second beast. The first beast had 10 horns showing his rule, his kingdom. But the second beast has 2 horns like a lamb. But John points out to us that he is not a lamb. He's a beast. Okay? He's not this gentle, meek little thing that will come along sucking his thumb. No, he comes riding in like he is gentle as a lamb. But the truth is, he is a beast. So his appearance is a deception. Nobody is afraid of a lamb. A lamb is gentle. It is harmless. It is innocent. And in Scripture, viewed with the most positive of opinions. This is John's symbolism for showing us the deadly character of this false prophet. Now, don't forget, folks, what we learned last week. All right, remember what we learned last week? The Antichrist is in Islamic prophecy. The Antichrist is their Messiah. Their Messiah. And he advances himself. He will claim to be the Messiah. He calls himself in the Quran and in their sacred writings. He calls himself the Messiah. He is the world's Messiah. But of course, we know he's a false Messiah. There's only one Messiah, and that is the Lord Jesus. Yes. All right. So then we learned that in Islamic eschatology, that there is a second character that comes along, and the Bible says that he's a false prophet and calls him that 3 times, 3 being the number of completion in the Bible. And so he's called the false prophet in the Bible. But in the Quran and in their writings, he is called Isa, Jesus. They have him, have Jesus coming back. The Bible says that this beast that rises up with the 2 horns is evil. And Islam says, no, this Isa who comes is the Bible's Jesus. Now, they explain why he's coming. And they say that he is coming because he was rejected by his own the first time he came. So now he's coming back with vengeance and judgment, and he is going to put the Jews in their place and destroy them. And that's why God is going to have to step out and protect them, because this satanic small g Godhead, all right, the dragon, the first beast, second beast, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the dragon and the Mahdi, and then the false prophet Isa, those 3 are going to team up in the last half of the tribulation period, and the whole purpose for their existence is going to be to destroy anybody who knows Christ as their Savior. And don't forget, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are going to be turned loose on this world. And there's going to be a lot of people get saved. The 2 witnesses are going to stand at the Temple Mount in front of the newly built temple, and is going to warn and preach the gospel. And what happens is they are killed. They are executed when God is done with them. And I personally believe that is at the mid point of the tribulation period. And when that happens, all of a sudden then the Antichrist and Isa, the false prophet, are going to turn on the world, upon those who have gotten saved, and they're going to be able to look on the forehead according to the hadiths that are the commentaries on the Quran. The Quran is, look at it this way, the Quran is the words of Allah, and their commentaries, the hadiths, are the commands of Muhammad. All right? That's the difference between them. Both have the authority, the same authority. It was granted to them by their own. They both have the same authority. And so what the hadiths say about all of this is that Jesus is going to come back. He's going to be lowered by two angels to the mosque in Damascus. And then the Antichrist, the Mahdi, is going to ask him to pray for the troops. What troops? Well, the troops that he sends after the Jews, and that he sends after the Christians, the folks that have gotten saved during the tribulation period. And they say that a true Muslim will be able to simply look at the forehead of a person, and they will be able to read whether or not you have received the mark. It's not going to be etched on in invisible ink, all right? I don't know how it's going to work, but the hadiths say that they'll be able to tell. And if you have the mark, you're good. If you don't have the mark, then you get executed. You get beheaded. And that's why in Revelation 20 and verse 4, John said that he saw the souls of them that were under the altar who were beheaded for the cause of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. Okay? So that is the second beast. And again, no one is afraid of a lamb. All right? He may look like a lamb, but he will speak like a dragon. The very voice of Satan is heard when he speaks. Now, as I quoted a moment ago in John 8:44, Jesus said that when the devil speaks, you can count on hearing a lie, because he is the father of lies. Now, go back for just a moment to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, so here comes this false prophet, and we learned that he does all these signs and all this stuff. Well, look please at verse 7 of chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. And Paul said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked," notice that's capitalized, that is a personification, all right? He's talking about a person, and this person is wicked. And he said, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, when the Lord, or whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So that's the second coming, the return. Even him, verse 9, whose coming is after the working of who? Satan. With all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Wow. God's going to send strong delusion. You say, how in the world could people fall for this stuff? They're going to be given strong delusion. That's how they can, that's how they're going to fall for this stuff. All right? They're going to be given strong delusion. But notice this lie is what this false prophet and this beast, this Antichrist, are all about. So the time has come for man to believe the lie. God will send strong delusion, and I think that this will begin at the midpoint of the tribulation, when the Antichrist breaks the covenant that he will make with the Jews and with the nation, the Arab nations around. There will be a covenant of peace, and then at the midpoint time frame of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to break that covenant, and he is going to expose himself, and it's become a Muslim or get beheaded. It's just that simple. You say, well, I just don't understand how people can do that. Well, when you're sent strong delusion because all you've done is reject the truth, you'll do it. You'll do it. Folks, there are people who still believe Elvis is alive. See? See? I mean, you know, unbelievable. All right, number two, I want you to notice his deadly approach. His deadly approach. And we see this in verse 12 down through verse 18, down through the end of the chapter. You see, he is deadly in the way that he blinds mankind. And that's how he's going to get folks to follow him. He is going to blind their eyes. Not literally, but spiritually. Verse 12 says, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And folks, I believe with all my heart, another thing, I believe that this false prophet is going to do all these miraculous things, all right? He is going to probably do these and then give glory to the Antichrist for giving him the power to do it. And then he is going to say to the people, as he points all men towards him, he is going to say, see, folks, right here is your Messiah. Right here is your Messiah. And God is going to send them strong delusions so that they will believe the lie. Does that make sense to you? Oh, my. It's a coming, folks. It's coming. There's no doubt in my mind that this is what the beast, the first beast and the second beast are going to do. I think that they will work hand in hand, just like the Lord Jesus worked hand in hand with his Father. The Antichrist is going to work hand in hand with his. It's just going to be flipped upside down. You can count on it. Of course, we're going to be in heaven. But nonetheless, this is going to be happening on the earth. All right, he will deceive. And how's he going to do that? He will blind people with signs from heaven. I don't know what he's going to do, but let me remind you that the Jews asked the Lord Jesus for a sign, and he refused to give them a sign other than the sign of Jonah, which was 3 days and three nights and then back alive again. All right? So he said, I'm not going to give you any sign except the sign of Jonah. And so when they saw after 3 days and three nights that he was resurrected from the dead, well, that convinced a lot of people. Those disciples got all the assurance they needed right there. Right there. And so the church began. So it appears that he is going to blind men with signs from heaven. But then you'll notice in verse 14 and 15, he is going to blind men with signs from hell. You see, it appears the beast, the Antichrist, will set up an image of himself in the Jews' temple. And he will command that he be worshipped. And this is what the Lord Jesus calls in the abomination of desolation. This false image. This idolatry. All right? The Jews were not... thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no idols and no idol worship and right on down the line. And so what's this beast do? He'll go right in the temple and he'll set up an image of himself. And that false prophet is going to be able to command that image to speak. And what's the purpose? The purpose is to convince the unsaved world and the Jews, just to convince those that do not know Christ that this is Messiah. This is him. This is your Messiah. So you need to bow and follow him. Folks, let me remind you, the Lord Jesus said one time, if you hear someone say, we have found Christ, all right, that's Messiah. Okay, that's the Messiah. When you see the word Christ, that's the anointed one, Christos. That's the anointed one. And what that means is Messiah. And Jesus said during the tribulation period that folks will say, we have found Messiah. And they'll say, we found him in the desert. In the desert. Now, let me ask you a question. What's in the desert? Well, Mecca, right? Mecca, Medina, another holy city. Yeah, they're all in the Arabian desert, the Arabian Peninsula. All of that is desert down there, and that's where Mecca is located. And so you're going to have this false prophet saying that this beast is your Messiah. And that's how he will present himself to the world. He's going to command to be worshipped. And this image is referred to, ironically, seven times in the book of the Revelation. And to worship this image will be the crowning act of blasphemy for mankind. It'll be the crowning act. The image will come alive when spoken to by the false prophet. He will have the power to give life to that image, and it will speak further lies to the hearts of the people. He will command worship and also issue the command that all who refuse to obey him are going to be slain. Look at verse 15 in chapter 13 for just a moment. The Bible says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast." Now, do you see that little word, life? That is the Greek word pneuma. P, it's spelled P. Let me find it. I had it here somewhere. I can't read my own writing. It's P-N-E-U-M-A. Does that sound familiar in this age of COVID? Pneumonia, yes. All right. So he will give, look here, he will give breath, life, breath to this image. And that image will then spout and spew further lies. Now, you know what that means? That means that this image is nothing more than demon possessed. The image of the beast will speak the words which Satan will have it to say. And then notice last that he is deadly in the way he binds mankind. He's deadly in the way he binds mankind. Look at, please, verse 17. It says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." So he imparts a spirit to this image, and that image convinces folks, no doubt, that they need to follow the Messiah, the Islamic Messiah, and he binds the heart with this mark that is required if you're going to buy or sell. If you don't have the mark, you don't buy and you don't sell. So the world will be convinced and deceived into thinking that the beast has all the answers. All right? He's going to have all the answers. The world is going to be deceived as the false prophet binds mankind. And John said in the last verse of this chapter, here is wisdom. You see, even here, there will be an enlightened remnant who will see through the whole sordid scheme, and they will realize and recognize the Antichrist for who he is and for what he is by the number of his name. They'll figure things out. You say, well, how are they going to do that? Well, I think they'll have some help in the good way. You know, just as God sends delusion to those who are deluded, God is going to send wisdom to those who are not deluded. Amen. Amen. So, 666. Isn't that strange, huh? 666, the number of man. Now, in the couple minutes I have left, let me tell you what the Quran and their commentaries and their prophets have to say about this Antichrist, beast number one. All right, let me tell you what they have to say. First, they say that that he is coming and to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. Now, I've told you before that the Bible is Jerusalem-centric. Everything happens in the Bible around Israel, around Jerusalem. And by restoring Israel to the land and ruling in Jerusalem, we know that the true Messiah is going to sit upon the throne of David during the reign period, all right? Rapture, ruin, return, reign, R-E-I-G-N, 1,000-year millennial reign. And we know that Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David, and he's going to rule the entire world in righteousness. All right, now, that's what the Bible says. But Islam does not believe that. They do not teach that. They do not preach that. The Bible tells us that Christ will defeat the Antichrist at his second coming, and that he will deliver his faithful followers from the ongoing persecution that will be heaped upon them from this Antichrist. But that is not even close to how Islam portrays the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they call, what was that word again? Degel? All right, they call the returning Jesus, not the Jesus that is the false prophet, all right? Not that one, but the returning Jesus, all right? He is the Messiah, the anointed one. But they call him Degel, which means he is the Messiah, the liar, deceiver. All right? Everybody get that? I think some folks were confused last week, and they said, okay, let me make sure I got this straight. So they're saying that the beast is their Messiah. Yes. They're saying that the false prophet is our Jesus. Yes, that's what they say. But the Bible does not say that he's our Jesus. The Bible calls him three times a false prophet. Okay? And then the returning Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the return to fight the battle of Armageddon, Islam says that Jesus is Messiah, the false one. All right, everybody got that now? All right, that's real important that you understand that, because you'll get confused. You'll get confused if you don't separate the two. So you've got the Godhead, the Bible Godhead, and then the satanic Godhead, small g. All right? And so they believe with all their hearts that it's reversed. Instead of the Lord Jesus coming back and defeating the Antichrist and the false prophet, they have it reversed. That when Degel comes back, they defeat him and all of us, because we come back with him. Well, we know that that's not going to happen. All right? So, what else do they believe? Well, they believe that Jesus, that's Isa, the false prophet, all right? They believe that Jesus will be a faithful Muslim. In other words, when the false prophet shows up, and when he comes down hanging on to the wings of angels and is dropped off at the mosque in Damascus, and then the Mahdi says, "Will you pray for the troops?" And he says, "No, you are our leader." And he walks behind him and then bows towards him on his face. That's showing submission to the beast, number one. And so what they teach about that Jesus that comes down, they say that he is going to be a faithful Muslim. And in order to be a faithful Muslim, you have to do a couple of things. First, you have to believe the declaration. The declaration is this: there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. So you have to believe that. You have to fast during Ramadan. You have to tithe. You have to pray 5 times a day. And then you have to do a pilgrimage to Mecca, which is called the Hajj, and you have to visit that big black stone building that is there. And you have to march around it, all right, in order to be a good Muslim, a true Muslim. Now, Muhammad said in the Hadith, he said very clearly that Jesus will tread his path on the way to Hajj. So he says he's going to do the pilgrimage. Have you ever seen that black stone? You've seen that out there? Now, they say that when it was first built, that it was built around a meteorite that fell, a star that fell. All right? And so they put a statue of the Greek and Roman god Aphrodite and Diana in that building. And they say that it was white when it was built. And for all these hundreds of years now, pilgrims have gone and they have come and touched the stone, and the stone has absorbed their sin. And that's why it's black today. That's what they believe. All right? Then one more thing. They believe that there are redeeming qualities in that black stone, the Kaaba. It's called the Kaaba. And they believe that there are redeeming qualities to it. One of their scholars said that Muhammad called it the hand of Allah. That building is the hand of Allah. And they refer to it as, get ready, the Shekinah glory. You with me? Sure. Remember now, Islam is just Christianity flipped upside down. That's all it is. And so, the Shekinah glory. And they elevate it and just make such a big deal out of it. And they rotate 7 times around it and believe in so doing that it will cleanse the pilgrim of all his prior sins. Now, folks, that's just blasphemy. Plain and simple, that's just blasphemy. But that's Islam. All right? That's Islam. Well, you know the rest. You know that they're going to institute Sharia law, and it will be the beast number one that will do that, and beast number two, the false prophet, well, he's just going to support that 100%. So you either behave or you die. It's just that simple. All right? Oh, there's so much more. All right? They also say that when Isa comes, the false prophet, when Isa comes, that he will break all the crosses. All the crosses will be broken. And so why break all the crosses? Well, that's where Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. All right? He went to the cross. So they want to get rid of him. Satan wants to get rid of him. That cross is where he's going to get, where he got defeated. And where he's going to, on the basis of that cross, be cast into the lake of fire one of these days. Amen. So, that's chapter 13. All right, next week we'll jump into chapter 14. So your homework assignment is read chapter 14, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your precious word. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts tonight. I pray you'll help us to understand what we have heard. Help us to go now and read and reread this 13th chapter. And Father, give us understanding. Help us to see how all this fits together. What a perfect picture it is. And so, Father, I ask you to bless and just open our understanding. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.